Good evening, and welcome to Weber Center for our 2019 Candidate Forum. And we're very happy that you could be here. The Adrian Dominican Sisters welcome you. Sister Janet Doyle, who is the director of Weber Center, is so happy that you could be here and welcomes you. And especially those who maybe are here for the first time. Do we have any first-time people in the audience? Well, we're glad you're here. One of the things I'd like to do is just let you know that there are going to be some programs coming up that I think you might be interested in. Next week, on Tuesday, October 29th, Sister Attracta Kelly is going to talk about what's happening with the immigration situation. You know, there's been lots of changes. Who knows what's happening now? So Sister Attracta will be bringing us up to date with all the information about immigration. And she will be talking on Tuesday, October 29th, in the Rose Room. The Rose Room is part of the Dominican Life Center, which is the first building. As you come in the Ring Road, and it will be the first building to your left. It's called the Dominican Life Center, and that's where the Rose Room is. So we welcome you to come on Tuesday, October 29th at 6:30 p.m. The Weber Shop, Weber Center Shop, is going to have an open house, which will help you to get an early start on your Christmas shopping. So they will be having a special sale on Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th. And these brochures, these little flyers, are out on the table. So please be sure and pick up a flyer. And then finally, Weber Center is going to provide an election issues series beginning in January. So there's a flyer on the table for that too. So we will look at the issues that are relevant and pertinent to the upcoming presidential election. So we will have an overview in January. In February, we will talk about sensible gun legislation. And then in March, the Green New Deal. April is campaign finance. In May, poverty and the Poor People's Campaign will be talking about that. The League of Women Voters will be here and talking about voters' rights in June. In July, we will also have a presentation on immigration. In August, we will talk about education, and finally end with the issue of living wage. You'll be hearing more about that, but we wanted to introduce that to you so you can put that on your calendar. So thank you for coming, and I will turn this over to Jeanette from the Lenawee NAACP.
Thank you, Sister Kathy. We want to thank the Adrian Dominican Sisters for, again, allowing us to come into their house to present this candidates forum. It's very important that the citizens of Adrian has an opportunity to hear the candidates that's going to be on the ballot on November 5th. So without further ado, each candidate is going to have an opportunity. Our moderator, Dale, will give the instructions. And thank you very much.
Welcome. Each candidate will have 1 minute to answer each question. And each candidate will have an opportunity to answer a question first as time permits. And each candidate then will have 2 minutes for closing remarks at the end of the question session. So as you can see, those of you here in the audience here at the Weber Center, we have our candidates for the two-year term for the City Commission, and we welcome Commissioner Kirk Valentine and also candidate Gordon Gauss. We'll start first with our first question for Gordon Gauss. Gordon, what qualifications do you have that makes you the best candidate for the the position that you're going to be, that you're running for the city of Adrian.
Thanks, Dale. First of all, I'm a long-time native of Adrian. I went to Adrian College, graduated with my accounting degree, and then later got my MBA in finance. I've got 32 years of executive management experience with a multinational corporation out in California. I came back in 2012 to take care of some family obligations and have been able to do that since. I've spent a lot of time at city commission meetings, and I've learned a lot, but I've also learned a lot of things that I believe could be done better. So that's why I've started this campaign, and I appreciate the support I've gotten in the community, and I look forward to an opportunity to run against Commissioner Valentine here.
Very good. Kirk Valentine, same question.
Good evening. I come from a family that has given a lot of community service over the years. I grew up in Morenci, and I had a father that was city council, fire chief, school board, so I kind of came into this naturally. I started working for the City of Adrian Fire Department in 1986. I spent almost 15 years there, and during that time, I got very familiar with the community. When you run calls, you get to go a lot of places. A lot of individuals don't get to go. I started developing properties in the city of Adrian shortly thereafter, and have been an avid workforce in trying to get things developed in our community. I've got a lot of experience. I did a stint on the commission back in the 2000s. I've been on again for a couple years. I always claim that I know the things that we don't want to repeat. There's been some mistakes made in the past, and I certainly feel that with my experience, I know where, one, we don't want to go again, and I think I have the experience to lead us forward as we. Thank you.
Next question, we'll start with on this one with you, Kirk. What have you done in your personal or public life to promote economic development in the city of Adrian?
Well, as a developer, you get the opportunity to make a lot of people's dreams come true. If you look at some of the restaurants, such as Sauce Italian, Chomp Burger, those were my projects. The owners have done a great job with them since, but I gave them the atmosphere. I also lured Leisure Living to bring Gaslight Village to Adrian. I was on a project up in Saginaw, had the opportunity to tour a facility, got to know the owners, and convinced them that Adrian needed a facility such as that here in our community. I've also developed my own properties here in town. I've got a substantial investment in our community. I think I've built some pretty nice properties. I've got some tenants that seem to be pretty happy. I've got some condo owners up on West Maumee and my development up there. So, you know, economic development kind of comes natural along with what I do for a living. And anytime I get the opportunity, I give people the sales pitch on Adrian and tell them the attributes that we have.
Gordon, same question for you.
Well, as you can imagine, my challenge has been in the area of economic development. I have never been a commissioner, so I can't promote it there. When I left Adrian to go to California, I was 23 years old and had just gotten married, so I didn't have a lot of cash on hand to do a whole lot of economic development. And then when I came back, I was retired, so I didn't have a great income coming in. But not to be flip about it, I can tell you that I have contributed to the economy. If you look around and see the money that I've been spending on my campaign, you'll certainly understand that I have contributed to the city's economy. So, anyway, thank you.
All right, Gordon, we'll be starting with the next question with you. What specific measures would you support to improve the blight situation in the city?
I think blight is, and I think reduction of blight in the city is very important and is something that is on everybody's mind. We talk about it all the time, or not so much me at commission meetings, but the commissioners talk about it frequently. There are both state and federal grants available that the city hasn't pursued. Those, you know, we pursue a lot of grants for the commercial businesses in town, but we don't necessarily go after the ones that can help rejuvenate the neighborhoods and help eliminate the blight. So I would, you know, I would specifically look at applying for those grants, getting a grant writer on the staff to do that. And the other thing is, I think we need additional, an additional code enforcement officer that can go out and look for the violations and get them corrected.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kirk, same question for you.
Well, actually, we have applied for a lot of grants and we have received them. Just last night, we voted on the NEZ, Enterprise Zone, that we put on a status for a habitat home. We've gotten other grants that have torn down several homes around the community and cleared parcels of blight. So we're in line for a very large federal grant right now. It's combative. You compete for these things, and we hope we get it. We've been told this could be a game changer if we get this one. But on the enforcement side, I've been a proponent since I've got on that we need to step up our blight efforts. And rental housing is, to me, the easiest place to start. We've got owners that own dozens of homes. I think we can apply more pressure there. I have been an advocate of moving the penalties from a civil infraction to a misdemeanor, which will really step up our enforcement efforts. I've been a proponent to hire at least a, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our next question, Kirk, we'll start with you on this one. Are frequent special meetings of the City Commission in order to approve resolutions fair to the public, and does it provide transparency for the city?
I personally am not a favor of the special meetings. Unfortunately, a lot of times when we have our special meetings, it's because we were unprepared on a staff level. I don't like to pick on our staff. They're buried under an awful lot of work. They're working shorthanded. But a lot of the things that come up at these special meetings are things that should have been handled during the regular course of business. So I'm not a fan. Now, there are things that do pop up occasionally. There are opportunities that we must seize. Some of them have to do with grants. Some of them have to do with deadlines that we have to meet. So there are times when they are necessary. But as a whole, I prefer not to have very many special meetings, because you're right, it does make it difficult for people to come and be part of the process.
Okay. Gordon, same question for you.
Well, I agree largely with what Kirk said, but I don't think it's just the public. And the public is impacted by the inability to, on very short notice, to get to the meetings and have an opportunity to comment. But I've seen the commissioners caught short on being able to seriously and completely comprehend what's going on. They get the last minute notice from staff, and the staff isn't always prepared to answer the questions. But more importantly, the commissioners, again, are caught at the last minute having to make serious decisions about how to spend taxpayer money or what grants to request and not request. And it's unfortunate, but when the staff is unprepared and has to come in at the very last minute, often, like the night before the deadline to file for a grant, it's ridiculous.
Okay, very good. Our next question, of course, we'll start this one with you, Gordon. What will you accomplish in your first 100 days on the City Commission besides learning rules and regulations?
God, that's a loaded question. Well, that unfortunately is going to be a lot of it for me, but I think that I'm not just there to occupy a seat and just vote along with everybody else. We have to, take into consideration, the new ideas that I hope to bring to the commission. I've said, and I will say it probably a couple more times tonight, our citizens who I've been out talking to on a frequent basis. I held a Meet the Candidate forum a couple of weeks ago, and in doing that, I've learned a lot about what our citizens believe and what they don't believe. And because of lack of transparency, there's quite a bit that they don't believe. But the biggest thing that they do believe is they're not listened to. And that's been part of what I've said I will do, is go out and talk to people. I will learn what their needs are and carry those back to the commission. Thank you.
Okay. Kirk, same question for you.
Well, fortunately, I can hit the ground running, and I've been having those conversations with people around the community for quite some time. If anybody knows me, I'm not afraid of a conversation, and I'll talk to anybody about just about anything. As far as, you know, the first 100 days, I'm just going to keep pushing the agenda that I've been pushing. Blight is a big one, and I see serious opportunity for improvement when it comes to our blight situation. And again, I'm going to go back to the rental housing inspection program and getting more teeth into that particular program on the enforcement side of things. We can't continue to let our housing stock deteriorate in the city of Adrian. Our tax base erodes with it. It really puts us at a disadvantage when we're marketing our community for people wanting to move into the city of Adrian. So, I mean, blight is probably one of the biggest things that I get approached about on the street, and it's one of the things that I push the most on the other commissioners when we're meeting.
Next question, starting off with yourself, Kirk, there. What is your plan for financing expanded testing or improvements to the city's water treatment plant and distribution system?
Well, as pretty much everybody knows, we've been having a series of tests done on the water. We've stepped up some of the testing for some of the toxins that everybody is concerned about. Now, if you look at the condition of the water this year, the taste and odor conditions that have been long time history in the city of Adrian, they were better this year. And quite frankly, I don't know if it was anything that we did on a city level. We've done some preventative treatment, but I think a lot of it just wasn't as hot this summer, and we had a lot more rain, which really helped the condition of the reservoir. Now, there's been a whole plan that has been laid out in front of us as far as a number of options. We've already okayed some of the options move forward. We've asked for further investigation to some of the other things that we can do. The nice thing about it, when we look at the toxic side of things, we've had total non-detect. So I know that's not good enough for some folks, but I think that's a pretty darn good start.
Gordon, same question for you.
I disagree. I don't believe the water is any better this year than it was last year. I just think the fact is that it's being ignored at City Hall. There was a study on the water done by a company called Tecratec, and they came up with four or five options. I guess there were four options on things that could be done to improve the water, but their focus was on smell and taste. It had nothing to do about cleaning up the chemicals and the problems, the cyanobacteria that's in the water. So, you know, that's been unfortunate. And the other thing about the Tecratec study, I can tell you those recommendations were made months ago, and since then I've been to every commission meeting, and there's been silence on the topic. There's saying like, let's wait and see if it goes away on its own. And, you know, I just don't think that's proper. Thank you.
Our next question, we're going to start with you, Gordon. Is drilling new wells a feasible, viable option for the city? Why or why not?
Dale, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't studied new wells, so I can't give you a good answer. And the fact is, I'm not going to make up an answer if I don't know the answer. So I'm just going to be straight with you. I don't know the answer to the question.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Same question for you.
If you go back to the history of the well fields that we have now, there was an extensive search done all over the region trying to find water, and that's how we ended up out on a Hamilton Highway. We could not find water hardly any place else. We looked Heritage Park. We drilled. Searched, you know, had people out there with divining rods, you name it, trying to find water back in the day, and that's where we found it. Now, our wells have been underperforming, but we've made some improvements to those. Now, Gordon says that we haven't done anything with the Tetra Tech plan. Well, that's not true. A number of those things were instituted, so we really don't need to talk about those anymore. We're beyond that. Now, the next step is going to be, you know, there's some different processes that could take place at the plant. Those are being investigated, but it's also part of this process improvement plan that was just passed through Johnson Controls.
Okay, our next question, we're going to start with you, Kirk, on this one. What is your specific plan to generate income for the city of Adrian, And how will you get the funds to improve the lives of the residents?
Can I ask for some clarification on that question? Are we talking about the residents themselves, or are we talking about revenue for the city? I'm sorry.
Well, I would think that it would generate income for the city of Adrian, and it would be both the city and for the residents, improving, creating more jobs.
Okay. Well, I've been a proponent of housing, and maybe people don't understand the relationship between housing and revenue, but as we all right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. As we look at the housing side, if we can get more housing built within a community, I mean, when's the last time that we've had a large amount of housing built in the city of Adrian? It's been forever since something like that has happened. That's going to generate a considerable amount of revenue for the city itself. Now, if you talk on the job side of things, everybody knows that that's a struggle. All right? Adrian has a fraction of the industry that it used to have. Now, we've invited in a marijuana industry that everybody knows that I'm not a fan of. I think there's some perils that are going to come along with that that I don't think that we're ready for. And I've already looked at how it's stressed the staff. So I think there's going to be some revenue off them, but I don't know at what cost. Thank you.
Okay. Gordon, same question for you.
Kirk brought up the issue of the marijuana and the dispensaries and that business. I think the city is kidding themselves if they believe there's only going to be any great income off of those. I sat in on a presentation, a webinar by the state, talking about how the monies were going to be distributed. And the state is going to take money off the top to pay for their administrative expenses, and they've got a number of different slices that come off of the pie, all the way down to Lenawee County getting 15% of the tax revenue for basically doing nothing, and the city gets 15% of the revenue for doing everything. I agree, the staff has been largely stressed out over creating the ordinances to manage this, but we're not going to get any great there. On the issue of additional revenue for the city, you know, that's getting additional taxes that are basically the primary source of revenue is going to be very difficult without raising taxes, which nobody wants to do. Nobody on the commission wants to do. Nobody in the city wants to do. I certainly don't want to do. But what we do have to do is cut expenses. And my business acumen is basically cut expenses, increase, for lack of a better term, profitability.
All right. With that, we're going to wrap things up here for this portion, and we're going to have the closing comments. And then, of course, then we'll start with Gordon with your closing comments. You'll have 2 minutes.
I want to thank the NAACP and the Dominican Sisters for hosting this tonight. I appreciate this forum because it's a very important way for our citizens to find out how their city is operating. Many of you have heard me speak about the issues of blight, water quality, and building an inclusive community. In turn, you've also told me about your beliefs that your concerns fall on the deaf ears of City Hall. You have told me about repairing our roads being more important than having autonomous buses. You've also told me that beautifying our parks or re-beautifying our parks is more important than dog parks. So we need to restore the city parks. I'm committed to listening to you. And I'm committed to representing all citizens of the city, regardless of what part of the city you live in. So when elected, you'll find me out in the community, sharing the plans of the city commission and listening to your ideas about how our lives could bring greater opportunities to this community. I appreciate your vote on November 5th. Thank you.
All right. Closing remarks from Kirk Valentine.
Well, I'd like to thank the Dominican Sisters and the NAACP as well for having this forum. Believe me, I would love to have an opportunity to have an audience like this where we could have a conversation, where you could ask me questions and I could give you the best answers that I could and we could share some information. I would rejoice in that opportunity, but I've tried to have forums in the past, and quite frankly, the only people I can get to show up are like my wife. So I think she felt obligated. Look, I come from a background of community service, and I've been here for an awfully long time now. I didn't grow up in Adrian, but, you know, Mom threw me in the back of the station wagon, drove from Morenci, and when we went to the big city, this is where we came. We went to Kresge's and Klein's and Jim Green's men's shops and all the places that used to be downtown. So this is where I kind of grew up. Like I said, I worked for the city fire department for almost 15 years. I've been a developer. I've built things here. I've built restaurants and stores and shops for other people in this community. I'm going to continue doing that whether I get this seat or not. I'm going to keep working for the city of Adrian just like I always have. I love this community. This community's got an awful lot going for it. I think Adrian's best days are in front of it, not behind it. If you talk to the other commissioners, I think there's times that they love me, and I think there's times they'd like to just throw me out the back door. Because we always have these civil conversations, and we kind of bring out the best in each other. I really like the group that we have. But, you know, we don't always get along, and that's okay. You know, I was asked once, how come you don't go to all the different events that are going on around town? And it's like, well, those are their events. I got the commission meeting, and I go to that. And I try not to step on other people's events. So if you don't see me out in the community, don't think that's for a lack of interest.
Thank you very much. Our candidates for City Commission for the two-year term here for the City of Adrian, of course, Kirk Valentine and Gordon Gauss. Thank you very much. We're going to be right back with the candidates for City Commission for the four-year term in just a moment. Keep it right here, and we'll be right back.
America's veterans are more than a source of pride. They're a source of strength. When our veterans thrive, our communities thrive. With your support, our veterans can get career and education opportunities as well as benefits they've earned.
Hi, I'm Congressman Tim Walberg. Join me in thanking our nation's veterans. They've given so much. Find out how you can support veterans in our community.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
A public service reminder from 103.9 WLEN.
There is significant need to support our veterans after 18 years of our current war, as well as those who served in Vietnam, Korea, even World War II. When no one else would stand up and say, I will go, many Lenawee County brave men and women did, and many gave their lives and sacrificed time from home. So now, WLEN asks you to stand up and say, for those who gave so much, I will stand for them now by partnering with the Housing Help of Lenawee. You have the opportunity to join the ranks through the Veterans Dire Need Fund. On Monday, November 11th, 103.9 WLEN will once again take to the streets starting at 6 a.m., broadcasting live as we collect monetary donations that will stay right here in Lenawee County. Your donation will change the lives of these men and women forever. So please stop by and make a donation.
Thank a Vet on 103.9 WLEN is brought to you in part by TLC Community Credit Union, Green Jack, and Suburban Chevrolet of Clinton. Madeline St. John is a third grader at Lincoln Elementary School in Hudson, and she's today's Lenawee Intermediate School District Student of the Day. Madeline is very respectful to others in the classroom and is not afraid to ask questions and get involved in classroom discussions. When Madeline grows up, she would like to be a veterinarian and work with large farm animals. Madeline is the daughter of Ben and Trish St. John. Madeline St. John from Lincoln Elementary School in Hudson is today's Lenawee Intermediate School District Student of the Day.
Welcome back to, again, the candidate forum that is sponsored by the Lenawee County branch of the NAACP. We thank them so much for sponsoring this again, and also a great big thank you to the Adrian Dominican Sisters for providing this wonderful space for us to be able to hold this. We're now going to go with our candidates for City Commission for the four-year term, and I'd like to introduce to you our audience. As we go down the line, we have Commissioner Mary Roberts, Commissioner Alan Helt, Commissioner Ladd Strayer, also running for the City Commission four-year term position, Joaquin Ramos, and Raymond Leonard. Welcome. We'll start our first question. We'll start with Commissioner Mary Roberts on our first question. What qualifications do you have that makes you the best candidate for an Adrian City Commissioner. And make sure you talk right into the up into the microphone, please.
Thank you. I think I am the best qualified candidate because I'm a servant leader. I am here only to serve the residents of the city of Adrian. I have no agenda. I've never been a politician before. What I want is to see people enjoying the city of Adrian and wanting to live here. I want businesses to want to move here, and I will do whatever it takes for that to happen. One of the things that people say to me after commission meetings or when I'm out walking my dog, they always say, you ask good questions. I feel that I ask questions that an average City of Adrian resident would want to know. If I don't know the answer to these questions, how is anyone else supposed to know them? So I will question everything because I don't know. Being new to this process, only a year into it, I don't understand how everything works. And so I'm sure if I don't understand it, the residents don't either. And that way...
Very good. Thank you. Same question for Commissioner Alan Hill.
Good evening. If anybody in this room knows my story, they understand that where I came from, you know, I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up poor. What I mean poor is sitting in my living room with a kerosene heater to have heat in my house, okay? I am a self-made man that continues to grow his business for the greater good of the city of Adrian. When you're on the city commission, tough decisions have to be made sometimes. It's not buying a lawnmower sometimes or buying, you know, a Vactor truck for utilities department. You have to make tough decisions. And sometimes you have to hold people accountable. Sometimes it's not popular with the public either. With that being said, having a commissioner that has the ability to make those tough choices and tough decisions, I think is what makes a good commissioner. Listening skills, talking to everyday folks that come into my business every day and patronize my businesses, talking to those folks, let me know that, and the support I've gotten from them over the last 4 years keeps me going.
Same question for Commissioner Ladstrayer.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd say that I've already been on the commission for 4 years. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, just get right up to it, Land, if you would,
okay.
Please.
Okay. I've already been on the commission for 4 years. I've learned an awful lot in those 4 years of being on the commission. I've heard a lot tonight already said about people in the community not thinking that we listen. Well, I'll tell you what, I worked for several years with the Daily Telegram. And when you're working with a newspaper, you're not reporting on yourself. You're reporting on other people and their businesses. And the only way that you can report is by listening. So you develop really good listening skills. I've brought those listening skills to the commission. Commissioners who I've served with will tell you that I listen more than I talk. And my wife will attest to you that we get interrupted at dinner and breakfast and lunch all the time to talk commission stuff.
Thank you. Same question for candidate Joaquin Ramos.
I think I'm the best candidate because I'm an Adrian resident, born and raised here in Adrian. I continue to be a community activist, and I've seen the city change over my lifetime. I've heard people, both now and then, complain about numerous issues of the city. I've also spent over a year watching the commission closely and taken a lot of time to think about their decisions. And I feel I add a new perspective as a younger person, among other things, to help make the city a little bit better for the people. Thank you.
All right, same question for candidate Raymond Leonard.
Good evening, everyone. I think I'm an excellent choice for the City Commission. Again, much like Commissioner Roberts, Commissioner Valentine, I've had a long history of service within the community. Much like Kurt Valentine, my parents loaded me up in the back of the van, brought me into town, put me to work. My mother worked for many years as the Women's Health Coordinator at Herrick and then at Bixby Hospital. With health screenings. My father was on the fire department, Madison Fire Department, for several years. So I've had a strong background in community service. I continue that today, working for a nonprofit in Hudson, operating a museum. I've served on the Lenawee County Historical Society Board for several years. And as you know, if you're a nonprofit, you have to watch your pennies. You have to make those tough decisions on where the funds need to go, to where it need to be allocated. And so I can bring those strengths to the City Commission.
Okay, very good. Our next question, we're going to start with Alan. One of the most important things that the City Commission does each year is approve the annual budget. What budget processes have you been a part of?
Well, you know, like currently, like I developed my Biggie's Pizza, my pizza shop. I gave my contractor, actually Commissioner Valentine, a budget. I said it's his job to stay within it. Going through four budget cycles, you know, during my time on the City Commission, helps me understand, you know, when it comes to money coming in, money going out. I view that budgets are like business. You have to have more money coming in than more money going out, okay? That's how we've doubled our, since I've been in office since 2015, we've doubled our fund balance, which is the city savings account, okay? That doesn't happen on accident. That happens when you watch taxpayer dollars and you are frugal with resources. Now, going forward, I'll continue to do that. I'll continue to watch, I'm the finance guy up here. I watch the money, and I have the reputation of being cheap, and I will continue to do so. But when it comes to budgets, I think that, you know, going through the process four times and making tough decisions, you know, not doing capital, I think that's huge. So we got to get back to doing that because we can't let our infrastructure fail.
Same question for Ladd.
I'm a co-owner of a small business, but I know that I can't spend more money than what I bring in. The city really isn't any different than your home budget. When you're making money, you can afford to spend money and put some money away for when times are a little more lean. When your income revenue is down, you need to find places to cut. The city administrator, the chief financial officer, the department heads in the city of Adrian put our budget together and then come to the City Commission for approval. I've been part of that process four different times. Each time I've become a lot more comfortable with the process. I feel like we have really good people in the city of Adrian doing that work, and I'll continue to keep a very close eye on what they're doing and giving my feedback.
Right, same question for Joaquin.
Of course, I've not been on the City Commission. I'm not wealthy enough to own a business, so I don't have experience with the budget in that regard. I have, however, lived my life with little money and even poverty. So I do have that experience in budgeting, and of course, when you're in poverty, everything is budgeting.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Same question for you, Ray.
Thanks, Dale. I've served on the Lenawee County Historical Society Board of Directors for about 15 years now, and while there, I've served as treasurer. So I understand what it is to budget. We've had employees there. We've understood the hard times that comes around when your revenues are down, your expenses are up. You have to make those hard decisions. And when the curator at that time, Dr. Charles Lindquist, decided to retire, we made the shift over to becoming a volunteer-run museum at that point because we just didn't have the revenue to make that happen as a paid position. I've been on the other side of that coin in my position as a curator. For the Thompson House Museum, I've drawn up the budget, much like the city administration does. So I understand the ebb and the flow, how that works, where you need to do capital improvement projects, when it's prudent to reach out for grants, when you can afford to do it, understanding matching funds. So, you know, strong nonprofit background would be an asset to the city.
All right. Same question for you, Mary.
My first meeting for the city of Adrian was a budget meeting. And so it was said that it was a trial by fire. If I lasted that meeting, I could last. And I have to say, that was a lot to take in. There's so much to learn with the budget process. And over this last year, I do feel like I've learned a lot. One of the things that I appreciate the most is the five-year plan of expected departmental expenditures. So we can take a look at how much do we have to save now so that in 5 years we need to replace that ambulance or that fire station doors or whatever it could be. My experience with budgeting is personal. a wife, a mom, for 30 years now, and so you have to budget for your household and plan for those unexpected expenditures. Saving is really important. One of my biggest achievements, though, I feel, is with the Maple Fans Club and the Maple Blues Blast for Adrian Public Schools.
Okay, very good. Thank you. We'll start with our next question with Ladd. As a commissioner, we're going to kind of keep it on the budget topic here. As a commissioner, how would you approach the budget process, and what do you believe the financial priority should be for the city?
I think that we have a pretty good budget process in place. Last year, the commissioners were able to get a little bit more involved earlier in the process, which I really appreciated. But I think moving forward, we need to, some of our priorities for how we're spending our money should be making sure that we maintain good water quality. We need to make sure that we're maintaining and creating an environment that people want to start businesses in this community, and maintaining a safe community to live. So I want to go back to the creating and starting businesses. That's our whole idea here, is to create a downtown area and a shopping district that will draw people to Adrian.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Joaquin, the same question for you.
I think there's some parts of the current budget that are good. I would work to maintain those. But I feel that there isn't enough of the budget being pushed towards public good and infrastructure. We've had issues with our water for decades. So obviously, something's wrong, and we should be focusing on that. There's numerous roads that are Adrian roads. They're just terrible. And you can see them right next to roads that are perfectly fine. So why are those being ignored? There's parks being ignored. There's streetlights being ignored on sections of the city. And besides a lot of these infrastructure things, most of what I look to do as a commissioner are going to be relatively budget neutral, coming from the general fund or being stuff that takes a one-time payment and then pays for itself. Thank you.
Okay. Ray, the same question for you.
Thanks, Dale. It's pretty clear that the priority should be health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Adrian. So that would mean working with Johnson Controls and working on the water issues that we have. That means looking at making sure we have a well-funded and well-equipped equipped police and fire department. And then we need to start looking at being able to better communicate what our funding priorities are. There certainly are public meetings that can go out. People can attend, but I think sometimes the citizens are a little bit confused by the budget process, why their street isn't being fixed, why there are rusted out downtown lampposts. And so I think we need to refocus that and be able to educate the public on those issues and what the funding priorities are. And then I think that last leg of that is we need to work on building better community partnerships to leverage our funds with some of the nonprofit civic organizations such as Habitat for Humanity, Kiwanis, and the Rotary Clubs.
Okay, thank you. Mary, same question.
Some of the challenges for the city with our budget are making sure that we have enough staff to move us forward. Now, we've done a lot of that in the last year. I believe we've hired 9 additional staff over the last year. And yes, sometimes it takes money to make money, unfortunately. I wish that we could cut expenditures, but we've been stretched very thin over the last 10 years since the 2007-08 downturn of the economy. We are just now recovering from that. And I believe that with the additional staff, we are going to move Adrian forward. Part of that is the Johnson Controls Energy Savings Program that we have instituted. I really look forward to seeing the savings from that program over the next 2 to 3 to 5 years and beyond. The guarantees from JCI are pretty impressive, and I look forward to seeing those. I also think we need to be open to change and new ideas to bring business growth, such as the sale of the industrial lots.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And Alan, same question.
Financial priorities for the city is cut and dry for me. Public safety first. With that being said, when I ran in 2015, I wanted to try to find out creative ways to fund our public safety to get them back to staffing levels that seem appropriate. After we lost the SAFER grant for our fire department, we went from 18 firefighters down to 15. We did not renew that grant. That was a decision that I was a part of. With that being said, this commission currently got creative on how do we staff the fire department? With the drug issue we have in the city, how do we staff it and get those guys, because the wear and tear on those guys were detrimental to the department. So we got into the ambulance service. And as it stands right now, we hired 6 full-time firefighters without zero cost to the taxpayers. We hired 3 full-time police officers. This is the stuff that has to happen in order to make our city safe. And to go, you know, kind of piggyback on that, next would be city and state mandate, or I'm sorry, state and federal government mandates, and then the rest for city city operations. But we've had budget surpluses 3 of the 4 years I've been on the commission, and we put that right on the pension deficit. More on that later.
Okay, thank you. We'll start with our next question with Joaquin. And Joaquin, what do you believe are the 3 biggest issues or challenges that are facing the city of Adrian?
Of course, the water is an ever-present issue, and that's something that we're going to need to stay in contact with universities and some of the groups that are working on this to make sure that we're well-informed and can act on it. But then there's also our housing issue. Many people are homeless, and of course it's hard to get a good tally on the homeless people because a lot of people don't want to admit to being homeless. There's a stigma against it. But there's a lot of people that are homeless, and there's a lot of people that are living in areas where they just can't reach what they need. So I think housing is a major challenge, especially affordable housing so that people can start to get back on their feet. But also transportation, because there's large chunks of our city that just cannot reach grocery stores or clinics, especially with the hospital having moved out of town. So transportation is a very big issue in that regard. And there's many people just can't afford transportation by this point in time. Thank you.
Okay. Ray, same question for you.
Well, the 3 biggest issues I see facing the city going forward, number 1 is communication. We have a system where the residents are questioning what the commission is doing, what the subcommittees of the commission are doing, such as the Planning Commission, the DDA, and others. That would need to be cleared up. The second issue that I see faces us is blight. The city needs to be a leader in cleaning up blight, and that means we need to be a model citizen for the rest of the city. So taking care of rusted out street lamps, making sure that lights are fixed in the DDA or the downtown area, and staying on top of our community partners to work with that to eliminate blight, such as Habitat for Humanity. And then the third issue that I see facing us is the water issue. We need to look at the way we're treating that, the water, have a better understanding of microcystins and cyanobacteria as the research becomes evolved in the scientific level, and then also work with our community partners to clean up the watershed.
Mary, same question.
The first challenge I see is how do we attract and retain businesses, and how do we attract and retain good employees? So for the business side, I would say that we need to streamline the process of opening a business. That doesn't mean make it less strenuous or anything, but just make it understandable so that there are no surprises. There's a checklist. There's an easy-to-follow process from going from the zoning board to the commission, and that making sure that our ordinances are following best practices. We have 3 colleges in town, and the educational resources that are available to the businesses in town are vast. There are internship opportunities, partnerships, training for employees. So we need to be able to work with our colleges and keep that talent force in the city. Don't have them move out of town once they graduate.
Okay, Alan, same question for you.
I'm going to touch briefly on water quality. I think that's important. I think the citizens of Adrian have to understand and have to believe in us that it's safe. That's number 1. Our pension deficit. Since I've been in office in 2015, we have got 7% increase on our pension unfunded liability. We have changed our new hires from a defined benefit to a defined contribution, which will save the city hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future. We got a police TPOAM to open up their contract when they didn't have to work with the city, because we're in this together. It's a black cloud of the city, and we have to address it, and we have. We've had three budget surpluses, and every surplus we've had, this commission has voted to put a lump sum payment on the pension. Quality of life. Jobs are important, but how do I get you to live here? How do I get you to do business here? I will commute 20 minutes to a job. How do I get you to live in the community? It's about the services that we as a city can offer you. That's what's important. So as we go forward, we need to get creative on how do we get quality of life projects and programs, whether it be recreation opportunities or anything for our citizens.
Lad, same question for you, please.
Well, with the last question, I was starting to make a comment about maintaining and creating an environment that people want to start a business here. And that makes me jump over to talk about blight. I think blight is one of the biggest challenges we have facing us. We started to work on this problem probably 9 months ago, and then we changed city administrators and things got pushed back a little bit. But we need to tackle blight before a lot of businesses will want to move into our area. So that's a big, big challenge. Another is our housing stock. We have to increase our housing stock on all levels, whether it be affordable housing or condos. But if we don't have places for people to live, they're not going to want to move here. If you're working at a job, at a higher paying job, say in Ann Arbor or someplace, it's attractive to come to a city like Adrian where we have maybe better schools or a safer place to live.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Jeanette, you think we can squeeze in one more question? Okay, very good. Let's do that then. And then Ray, we'll start with you. Okay. If you could implement one idea as a city commissioner, what would that be?
One idea.
Yeah, just one.
Just one. This is a very tough question. I think the number one thing that we could do that I would like to see done as a city to move the city forward, I think we need to sit down as a commission when I'm elected, and we need to look at the book entitled 13 Ways to Kill Your Community. And it was a life-changing book that I read about a year ago. There's wonderful ideas in there on how to make this a wonderful place to live and attract people to come back to Adrian. And so really the some of those ideas revolve around making sure places are painted, making sure you have a high quality of water, making sure that ideas are sought out and acted upon, making everyone feel included, being an inclusive community, whether you're young, old, black, white, Native American. That's something that we need to do. It's not something that's going to be easy, and I think it comes down to communicating. It doesn't mean that we open up a city commission and have people come in. It would be wonderful if we had an audience this large at every city commission, but we just need to find a way to communicate better with everyone.
Okay, Mary, same question for you. What's that one idea?
Well, I like what Ray had to say about communicating with everyone, and I'm going to piggyback on that. When you live in a community, there are community expectations, but how do you know what they are? How do you know if your expectations are the same as the city's or as your neighbor's? If you're new to the area, what can we do as a city to help you understand the expectations of living in the city of Adrian? I think education is key to that. And one of the things I haven't discussed tonight is blight, but I'm going to work on blight right now. This is especially important for rental property owners and renters. I'd like to create an info sheet of the top 20 blight concerns that our inspector sees and have that given out to new renters and to the rental home owners so that they can give it to the renters and say, parking on your lawn in the city of Adrian, it's not right. You can't park on the streets overnight. You'll get a ticket. You can't.
Very good, thanks. Ellen, what's that one idea you would like to implement?
The one idea I'd like to implement is this. I don't run for office. I think all 9 candidates here tonight are very, very, I can assure you folks that they want to see Adrian prosper. right? I always run on an agenda. I don't run for fun. I run to get things done. I run to communicate and work with my fellow commissioners to be, you know, to get the things that I want to get done, right? So I think blight enforcement, if reelected, is my number one priority. And I will touch base on when I do my closing remarks on some of those efforts that we've, you know, that we've done so far. But blight is one of those things that's tricky. People can't, you can't just snap your finger and fix it. We have a structure now with our city attorney. We have a civil city attorney and a criminal. We're trying to navigate through that. But it is an agenda item that we are going to tackle. And, you know, and the positive thing is that all six of us right now that are currently on the commission are all in support of it. So you have to be able to work with people and work together, because you can't come in and say you want to do X, Y, and Z, because you got to have support first.
Thank you. Vlad, what's that one idea you would like to implement?
One thing I would really like to see us do is to get back on track with the recreation department. Several years ago, we eliminated the recreation department. We did that where our hand was basically forced. We had to cut funds. Recently, we have engaged with Adrian Public Schools to start building a recreation department that's really focused more with young people. I think it needs to expand and include people from all walks of life. But one of my concerns is that we have a lot of land devoted to parks, and I don't feel like we're getting the best use of them, especially someplace like Heritage Park, which is huge. We have soccer fields, we have softball fields, baseball fields. We could be generating a lot of money from our parks that could then be transferred over to other departments. There are so many different leagues out there and tournaments that go on throughout the summer and the fall. We need to take advantage of that.
Okay, Joaquin, what's that one idea you would like to implement?
I suppose the first one that I'd want to implement is the affordable housing. There's far too many here in Adrian that just do not have a home to live. They're homeless, or they're struggling from month to month to make the rent for their house. And it's hard to get much of anything in your life done when you don't know where you're going to live. How are you going to go through college? How are you going to go about doing your job? How are you going to try to get transportation to get to the job? How are you going to have internet to apply for the job if you don't have a home to be at to begin with? So I would make that my top priority, and I think that's something that will have a ripple effect into the city and help a lot of our issues, just because people will be able to start getting on their feet again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. With that, we're all going to go with closing remarks. And Mary, we'll start with you.
I don't have anything prepared. I didn't know this was part of it, so I'm going to wing it. So I think what I would like you to know is that I'm a good listener and I'm out in the community, but I'm also good at asking questions, the tough questions. And I hear that every day, is that people like the questions that I ask. So I'm going to continue asking those tough questions. I don't have an agenda. All I want is for people to enjoy to live in the city. I'm not a business owner, but I want businesses. I want to be able to have a walkable downtown where I can go and bring my sisters and we can go downtown and have lunch and do shopping, just like you would in Ann Arbor or any other city. That's what I would like to see in downtown. I do think that we have some work to do with restoring trust by the residents. One of the things that I would like to see is that we deliver on the promise of being open and transparent with residents. And as a question earlier, the special meetings is an issue, and that could be a problem for people who don't get that notification quickly enough, and they're not being able to have the time to be heard. Special meetings are never a good idea. Sometimes they are required, but they're never a good idea. I want to assure you that we do hear you. I hear you. It may not be the right time and place for us as we're up on the commission to answer you, but I want you to know that if I have questions about something that is said, I am going back to the city administrator or one of the department chairs and asking those questions. What did they mean about this? What did what can we do about this resident's concern? So we do hear you, but we can't always answer your question right then and there.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Mary Roberts. And your closing remarks to Commissioner Alan Held.
I'd like to thank the NAACP and the Dominican Sisters for giving us this opportunity to address the citizens of the city of Adrian. When I ran in 2005, I ran on five things that I wanted to try to accomplish. Protect the oil trust in perpetuity. I ran on controlling city spending. Our fund balance is around $2.3 million when I took office. It's over $5 million now. Okay? With that being said, I understand the city does not want us to be a bank. They want us to provide service. I wanted to promote economic development. Since 2015, there's been $70 million in economic development in the city. I wanted to oppose no bid contract. Before I was on, it was every other resolution, there was a no bid, waiving the bid on the contract. I stopped it. I voted no on a Vector truck once because I asked the city administrator, is there anybody else that makes Vector trucks? A Vector truck is a utilities department vehicle. And they said yes, so I voted no. The pension deficit. Since I was elected in 2015, the pension deficit has increased 7%, which is what turned out to be millions of dollars in savings. We changed new hires in the defined contribution instead of a defined benefit. There's candidates on the stage tonight before me and after me, they'll probably say that we want change. And let me go with caution with that. Is change hiring 3 new police officers? Is change hiring 6 more firefighters without zero cost to the taxpayer? Do you want change? Do you want to sell $1 million worth of property and put it back on the tax rolls? Do you want to go back to wasteful spending? I agree sometimes change needs to be made, but myself, I am dedicated to the job, and I have the ability to make tough choices. I can attest to you, everybody in this room and listening at home, you will not agree with me on everything. I guarantee it. Last night was a tough vote. After the vote, 2 people I respect and care about a lot walks up to me at a local restaurant and said they still respect me, even though I didn't agree with them. I'd like to continue that in November 5th. Thanks, guys.
Closing remarks from Commissioner Ladd-Strayer.
Taking on the job of a city commissioner is one of the hardest tasks I've ever taken on, and I guarantee you it would be one of the hardest tasks that any of you have ever taken on. I learned a lot in the first six months of this job. I want to first say that sitting up here tonight or sitting on the dais at the city commission is not my comfort zone, not my comfort zone at all. But I do it because of the love I have for the city of Adrian. I'll tell you this, the city has been great to myself, the city has been great to my wife, and because of that, we've never ever thought about leaving this community. People ask me often, or coming up on this election, what is your agenda? What is your platform? And my response is, I don't have a platform. I don't have an agenda. What I'm here for is to make the very best decision I can make for the general public of Adrian as these issues come before us. I don't know 3 months down the road what issues we're going to be facing or 6 months down the road. I mean, we can anticipate. We talk amongst ourselves all the time is what we think might be coming. But what I've learned over the 4 years that I've been here is you can't prepare for what's coming down the road. You have to be nimble and be able to move. So I've never had a personal goal when it comes to being on the city commission. In the years that I've been on the commission, we've worked really well with private investors to build a beautiful downtown that everyone can be proud of. And believe me, when I talk to people around different cities from quite a ways away, they're noticing what we're doing here. We've worked to bring a pension down. We've brought in new police officers and firefighters. And if you would like me back again, I would love to come back again. I'm getting that darn stop sign. See, I swear to God, everybody has gotten 30 seconds more tonight than I have.
Thank you, Ladd. All right. Now for City Commissioner candidate Joaquin Ramos.
I would like to first thank the NAACP and the Adrian Dominican Sisters for putting on this forum. I would also like to thank everyone in the audience, physically or listening over the radio, for educating yourself on the commissioners and on the mayoral candidates. Besides that, I am an Adrian resident. I've been my entire life. I've heard concerns from the citizens that not everyone has. I've also lived all around Adrian, so I hear a bit of diversity in that. I'm also very available. I walk around downtown and some of the parks, and I would be happy to have a talk about this city with anyone. Some of the main things that I'm fighting for up here is affordable housing, and on a few different levels, because there's different levels of income. Different people have different needs. Public transportation, because we need to reunify our city. It's just due to the lack of transportation, we've been being divided further. Our water, and most of what I look to accomplish would either be through grants or through one-time expenditures. So I hope I have your vote, and I would be happy to talk to anyone after the forum or any time that I am around. Thank you very much.
Okay, closing remarks from City Commissioner candidate to Raymond Leonard.
Thanks, Dale. I'd like to thank the NAACP, the Dominican Sisters, for hosting this event. I'd like to thank everyone that is physically here. I'd also like to thank the people that are home that are watching. This is a great turnout for a forum like this. I think if all the City Commission meetings were like this, the public meetings, that would be a wonderful thing to hear everybody's input. When I decided to run for office, I ran on three planks: communication, elimination of blight, and then also a comprehensive solution to our water issues. Really, what it boils down to is we need a person in the office that is willing to go out and reach out rather than waiting for individuals to come to City Hall, then go to up to the city offices to try to find that answer. And so as we go out into the community, as I go out into the community going forth, hopefully I have your support on November 5th. I'd like to work with you as we advance the city forward. And just to give you an idea, you know, first 100 days, I'd like to see some sort of listserv set up, whether it's myself or through city offices. We do a good job with posting on the city website. They do a great job on Facebook, but I think an email listserv to open up those communication lines will go a long way to alleviate some of the concerns over transparency and voices in city government. So I hope you get out and vote on November 5th, if not for me, for one of the candidates up here. Thank all the fellow commissioners and candidates for having such a wonderful discourse tonight.
All right, thank you very much. Those are our candidates for the four-year term for the City of Adrian, and we thank them very much, and thank you. We will have our candidates for the City of Adrian for the mayor position. Of course, Angela Swordheath and Shane Mackey will be doing that here in just a moment. Stay with us.
From Sand Creek to Manitow Beach, from Clayton to Cement City, this is Lenawee County's radio station, 103.9 WLEN, Adrian.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., so if you're 50 or older, it's time. Screening helps find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Did you know there's more than one screening test? Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
A public service reminder from 103.9 WLEN.
Hometown Hope, it's about the people in our community. 103.9 WLEN, along with McDonald's of Adrian and Hudson and Kapnick Insurance Group, present this month's grant recipient, The Daily Bread of Lenawee.
This is Janie Colton, Executive Director at The Daily Bread in Adrian. We are grateful to be a charity in a generous community. We care for patrons with physical and mental infirmities, addiction issues, and those who might be unemployed, homeless, or lonely. To fulfill our mission of providing meals and pantry service, we rely on the community. For information on volunteering, donating food, or making a financial contribution, call us at 517-266-0937 or visit the Daily Bread website or Facebook page.
Discovering hometown hope, 1 month at a time. Kapnick Insurance Group, McDonald's of Adrian and Hudson, and 103.9 WLEN.
People always tell you that quitters never win, but those people have never tried quitting tobacco. For me, quitting was my greatest victory. It helped me win a longer life.
Join the team that can help you quit tobacco. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW to get a custom game plan and constant motivation from a free quit coach. Or talk to your healthcare provider about a prescription to help you quit. They're covered for anyone enrolled in Medicaid. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
Madeline St. John is a third grader at Lincoln Elementary School in Hudson, and she's today's Lenawee Intermediate School District Student of the Day. Madeline is very respectful to others in the classroom and is not afraid to ask questions and get involved in classroom discussions. When Madeline grows up, she would like to be a veterinarian and work with large farm animals. Madeline is the daughter of Ben and Trish St. John. Madeline St. John from Lincoln Elementary School in Hudson is today's Lenawee Intermediate School District Student of the Day.
Now, once again here with the Lenawee County NAACP candidate forum for the city candidates that will be running in November. And we'd like to thank the Lenawee County NAACP for hosting this as well, or sponsoring this, as well as the Adrian Dominican Sisters that are hosting the forum here this evening. We are going to go with our mayoral candidates here this evening, and I'll introduce you to our audience here in the room here this evening, as well as to our listeners, Angela Sword Heath, as well as Shane Mackey. Welcome. And we'll be doing the same thing as we've been doing the entire evening. We'll be giving each one a chance to answer the question first as we go along. The first question we're going to pose to Shane Mackey: what qualifications do you have that makes you the best candidate for the mayor for the city of Adrian, Shane?
Well, I have extensive educational background that's relevant to the position. I have a law degree. I graduated at the top of my class and as a law review editor. I don't know how people can run a city that's basically governed by a plethora of laws and regulations, federal and state. And so to even try that, attempt that without, you know, those type of qualifications, I don't know how that's done. I also have business school education. So I understand when I look at the financial statements, you know, I understand what I'm looking at. And so I think that those qualifications educationally, as well as those I have professionally with managing my own litigation consultant business. And, you know, I think those are the ones that I would emphasize the most.
Okay, we'll pose the same question to Angela Sortieth.
I graduated from Purdue University with an education degree, and I was in the top 3% of all Purdue graduates. My background is education, but I have now changed my qualifications, I guess, and I ended up being a head cheer and dance coach here at Siena Heights in addition to being a instructor in the classroom. And doing that job has actually given me a lot of leadership skills that I would not have had before. I have to manage budgets all the time. Just a couple years ago, we were told halfway through the season that we had a 10% decrease in our budget and we had to find a way to make it work, and I've had to find ways to make budgets like that work. I'm also in a lot of leadership within the nation. I am the dance president for the entire nation for the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletes. And so I have a lot of leadership experience and ability, and have helped start different entities within that.
Okay, very good, thank you. We'll start the next question with you, Angela. One of the most important things that the mayor and city commission does each year is to approve the annual budget. As mayor, what do you believe the financial priorities should be for the city of Adrian?
Well, as I just said, that I do have experience with working with a very small budget. And I think that they are doing a great job currently of having a surplus every year. I want to continue that trend. I do not think that just because you have a budget that you spend right up to that amount, we need to keep an extra, because we need to keep bringing that pension deficit. We need to keep going at it, and we need to find any way that we can. So any surplus money that we can have at the end, it needs to be a very high priority. I just think that we need to keep our safety as number one. We need to really make sure we can find ways to make sure that we have the fire department fully equipped, our police department fully equipped, and make sure our ambulances are up and running, and we have the staff and we have the abilities to make this a very safe place, and that needs to be one of our top financial priorities.
Okay, Shane, same question for you.
Do you repeat the question, please?
Sure. One of the most important things that the mayor and the city commission does each year is approve the annual budget. As mayor, what do you believe the financial priority should be for the city of Adrian?
I have pored over the comprehensive annual financial reports for the city for a few years now. They're about 188 pages long, and I've submitted FOIA requests. I've obtained a lot of financial documents. I keep hearing, how stressed for money the city is, but yet we have a $20,000 website with a $30,000 upgrade. I don't think, and the website's 24 pages. It's not dynamic. It's a simple static, WordPress website. It's not worth $50,000. That's the type of wasteful spending. One time a city commissioner asked a potential candidate, they said, what is your ways of generating revenue for the city? And then they spoke, and I waited for the next question, which I thought would be, how are you going to cut expenses? And that question was never asked, and it's time to start asking, how can we cut? I think there's plenty of money downtown. We just have to stop, spending it on $50,000 websites. Thank you.
Okay. Next question, we'll start with you, Shane, on this one. What do you believe are the three biggest issues or challenges that are facing the city of Adrian?
I think one of the biggest challenges in this city is cultural. I think there's a divisive attitude between the east side and the west side, between those who are more privileged and those who are less privileged. And I think that we need to look at the culture of City Hall. It should be inclusive of everybody. I think another challenge that's significant is obviously the unfunded pension liabilities. We have to talk about that. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to taxpayers to hoard money and put it all towards the pensions for promises made that couldn't be kept. And now the taxpayers have to lose services because of that. There needs to be a better balance. I understand, obviously, promises need to be kept to city workers. I think that the shifting from the defined benefit plan to a defined contribution plan is a huge step. I think there's also employer contribution, ratios should be reduced as well. But I think those are the two biggest issues facing the city at this point in time.
Okay. Angela, same question for you.
I think communication is one of the biggest issues right now. And interestingly enough, if you look at the City of Adrian 2018-19 strategic plan, communication is the number two goal. But I don't see that it has been improved upon at all, and that is one of the things that I really want to see taken very seriously and looked at. There is a definite disfunct between what the community is feeling between them and the city commission and the mayor's office. They are not feeling like they are heard. I'm hearing that. I've been out in the community talking to many community members, and they are feeling like they are not being heard. They feel intimidated to come to commission meetings. They feel intimidated by the setting. They feel like they're not listened to even when they come and they do speak. And that creates this whole communication. There's a distrust now, and there's not a good community feeling at all. And that is definitely being relayed to me.
Okay, thank you. Angela, we'll start the next question with you. What can city government do to attract new businesses into the community and retain existing businesses so that good job opportunities exist here in the city?
One thing I think we need to do is we need to find a way to make it easier for businesses to come here. Right now, they have to jump through so many hoops that I have talked to several people that said, I just gave up and I moved my business somewhere else. It's too much work. It's too much work to come here. There's too many steps I had to go through. They thought they were through, and then they found out they had to go meet now with another commission, or they had to go somewhere else and get approval again. I think we definitely need to streamline that process and make it much easier for businesses to come. I also think we just need to improve the way our city looks, and that would be refurbishing the commercial buildings that we have that are commercial blight in our city, and if we can refurbish and repurpose those and maybe attract the businesses to come into buildings that already exist. But if not, they don't want to come when they see these commercial vacant buildings just sitting there. That doesn't help attract the new businesses, and I feel like that really needs to be taken very seriously.
Okay, same question for you, Shane.
I don't think there's a magic lever that you can pull that's going to cause a business to come to Adrian or that's going to cause someone to move here or not move away. I think there's a complex plexus of issues that are economic issues that, you know, pertain to this issue. I think we should fundamentally focus the old way of doing business, where you offer tax incentives to large manufacturers to come to the community and they come here. That way of business is dead, and the city has not responded appropriately. We need to focus on other means like transportation to other economies, such as Ann Arbor and Toledo, that have economies and bring the money back here. We need to focus on e-commerce. My business model, I bring money from Detroit, Washington, Lansing. I bring it here to the city because I do online business. There's another business in town, Maggard's Razors. I walked in. I was utterly just amazed at their business. I asked them, it's an online business model as well. It's worked well for Amazon and Jeff Bezos, but there's nothing here which promotes online business. And we need to get in that game because the 1850 style of doing business is done.
Thank you. Our next question we'll pose to you, Shane. Looking at the city's strategic plan, what would you like to see accomplished that has not yet been accomplished?
There's a lot on the strategic plan that's not been accomplished. I think, number one, we need to be realistic in our goals when setting the strategic plan. There's a lot of lofty platitudes in that plan. There's a lot of lofty platitudes here tonight, and we're all going to go to the city commission, and not much is going to change, unfortunately. So I think we need to look at what's really important, not have this huge big document and say, what's really important to us, and what are we really going to do? As they say, let's keep it real with the community and with the voters, and stop just using all these business catchphrases and things of that nature, economic development and things of that really mean don't mean a lot in a lot of context sometimes.
Okay. Angela, same question.
I think quite a bit of the strategic plan has not been accomplished, but I also feel that it was extremely lofty and a lot to accomplish in a short period of time. But I think that there are different aspects of it that we can start to work on now, and we can start to go at. One of the big ones, like I already said, was just creating a community communication campaign. I haven't seen much of that done. It talks about, you know, documenting the city's story, getting that communication piece. The other thing is, you know, maintaining us as development ready. I feel like we have not really even started to tackle that. I feel like we tackled the financial part. We've been trying to deal with the pension deficit, and they dealt with the first page of the strategic plan, but we haven't really delved deep into it and really gotten to some of the nitty-gritty and some of just the easy things that we could do, but they're going to take some time.
Okay, very good. Our next question, we'll start with you, Angela, on this one. Aside from the, and we're going to kind of keep it on the communication topic here, aside from the 3 minutes at the city commission meetings, what is your plan to effectively and regularly communicate with the residents of Adrian and also solicit that input?
One thing that I'm going to do, I've already been asking community members what they would really like, and I'm going to do monthly coffee hours. I'm going to offer one during the daytime and one during the nighttime, so that if you work and you cannot come till night, then you could come. If you are somebody that it's easier for you to come in the day, I'm going to offer that, and it's just going to be a listening time. It's going to be hearing the concerns and issues that the city residents have with the city. And it doesn't mean that it can all be fixed. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have the answers, and it's not going to be me really giving answers. It's going to be just a listening time and really hearing what the concerns are, because it gets very easy to just sit at commission meetings. I go to all of them too, and it's really easy to sit there and just not know what the rest of the city residents are thinking and feeling, because you only get a very, very small percentage that come to those commission meetings.
Shane, same question for you.
Is this on?
Yep, no, it is.
I think the communication piece, it's only half of the puzzle. The other half is they're having a responsive government. It took me all of 2 meetings to realize that it's largely a waste of time to go into the city hall. Last night was a perfect example. You know, people came down, they voiced opposition, and we don't really have a responsive government. So why would you continue to leave your family at home, to come to a government, to voice your opinion, waste your Monday evening, to be dismissed. So I think that in order for people to communicate, because democracy is a participatory form of government, the voters have to be heard. But when they speak and they're ignored or dismissed, which happens, unfortunately, way too much at City Hall, no one's going to communicate anymore. So we need to focus, in my opinion, it's not the communication, it's having a responsive government, which makes that communication valuable.
Okay, very good. Shane, the next question will be for you. What is your plan for financing expanded testing or improvements to the city's water treatment plant and distribution system? Along with that, do you plan to seek state aid for any of the improvements needed for the Edrian water treatment plant?
Well, I believe the water issue obviously is paramount to the city. It's very fundamental. You can go longer without food than you can with water. So I think we need to give it number one priority. As far as financing goes, there's plenty of federal and state funds for water, for clean water under the Federal Clean Water Act, and yet would seek whatever financing available, period, grants, loans, federal, state, even nonprofits, whatever's available, I think we should look into that because there's clearly money available at the federal and state levels.
Okay. Angela, same question.
I would also agree that I would do everything possible to get as much money from the state and federal level to help us with the water. The water is definitely a very large concern, and I do not have the answers, obviously. It's not a quick fix. It's not something that's been able to be fixed very quick, but what I will not agree with is raising water bills to fix it. I know it was suggested at one point, and I already feel like our water bills are high enough in the city of Edrian, and I do not agree at all with raising the water bills to fix that problem. We need to find that money elsewhere, and we need to really work on our water quality, but I do not feel like at the expense of the citizens because they already pay enough.
Okay, Angela, we're going to stay with water on the next question. Is drilling new wells a feasible and viable option for the city? Why or why not?
I've actually asked a few people, and I've gotten varied responses on this, some people that have some experience. I don't know, honestly. The answers have been so all over the place. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know. I would like to explore doing more reservoirs and drilling more wells, because I feel that partly why our water issue was such a problem is I think we need to not take it from the Lake Edrian as much as possible. We need to have that water resource from the reservoirs and the wells. I know that we had enough this year. It looks like they were much fuller. We fixed some of the problems, but I do think that we probably do need it, but the problem is, where are we going to find it? And that is what I have been hearing over and over again from everyone I've talked to, that that's going to be the problem, and that is why I don't really know what the answer to that is.
Okay. Shane, same question.
It's my understanding that there's no new wells that can be drilled to basically enhance our current water infrastructure, which, in my opinion, makes it all the more important to give serious pause to deals whereby we sell our water to other local entities around us. There's a limited, there's a finite supply of water, and if we can't drill new wells, why would we continue to sell it to other townships and other, you know, in the prison and whatnot? So I think we should stop taxing what we have and be more, you know, conserving in that way. But I don't believe that drilling new wells is an option.
Okay. Next question. We're going to start this one with you, Shane. Should the city of Edrian employees be more reflective of the demographic population of Edrian? And do you happen to know what staffing diversity currently exists in the police department, fire department, and city hall administration?
I don't have the answer to that question. I do have names, but I don't have faces. I can tell you that, in my opinion, based upon my anecdotal experience at City Hall, that there's not a lot of people of color down there, or, you know, LGBTQ people, or, you know, people with disabilities. It's largely a white enterprise, Caucasian enterprise at City Hall, which goes back to the whole divisive nature. I think a lot of things that we keep talking about tonight about money and having nice things, I think it's time to focus on treating one another well, treating each other better, and actually being a community. East side, west side, people of all colors, and I think that the City Hall should be more, should reflect. They should increase the people of color there, certainly.
Okay, Angela, same question.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Should the City of Adrian employees be more reflective of the demographic population of Adrian? And do you happen to know what staffing diversity currently exists in the Police Department, Fire Department, and City Hall Administration?
I do not know what our diversity numbers are within our staff. I can tell you, though, from my experience that it is largely Caucasian for sure, just from what I have witnessed and what I have seen when visiting. But I do not know those exact numbers. I feel like if everyone just needs to be cognizant that we all come from different backgrounds, we all come from different ability levels, different economic backgrounds, and to if we would just treat everyone with respect and treat everyone like you would want to be treated yourself, whether that be coming in to City Hall to ask a question, whether that would be going to the police department when you're needing help, whether that would be having the fire department come to your house. We just need to make sure that our employees and our staff are treating everyone the way they would want to be treated themselves and treating them with respect.
Okay, very good. Next question, we're going to start with you, Angela. What is a tax capture, and how would you use it to help finance solutions to the city's problems, such as the blight?
I don't really know. What I do know, I don't really know the answer to that question, except from what I have been told. A tax capture is when you capture that part of the tax and you bring it in to use it for a specific purpose. I do know that right now with the blight situation being a big topic of discussion, from talking to many residents, that it is definitely a blight issue that is with a lot of times the complaints have come that it's landlords, that it's the tenants that are complaining, it's the homeowners next door. And the thing that bothers me is that I know that when people go to make improvements on their homes, what they're telling me is that they're automatically being taxed more just because they have made an improvement to their home. But yet they don't see necessarily, they don't know, but they feel like, is that same thing happening to these landlords? Are they just pushing all of that onto those tenants? And that's a big question and a big concern.
Shane, same question.
A tax capture is sometimes used synonymously as with the word tax increment finance, which you talk about a lot at City Hall. It's where you have a property which is improved and you take the initial assessed value and then the new and improved assessed value, and that difference in the value is then captured and diverted to a special project. Like the DDA, for example, is a TIF authority. Just this year, the state of Michigan enacted the Recodified Tax Increment Finance Act, which basically recodified all of these type of TIFs, what they're called. And they have one for neighborhood improvement authorities that could be used to divert funds for blight purposes. And they also have the NEZ neighborhood enterprise zone that we dealt with on Monday as well could be used to remedy the blight. Thank you.
Okay. Shane, we'll start this question for you. What will you accomplish in your first 100 days as the mayor of the City of Adrian besides learning the rules and regulations?
Well, I'm not really one for trying to predict the future, but I think my first 100 days, I would probably spend mending some fences. I think that there's some tensions at City Hall, and I think that we need to get together. We need to figure out how to work together. There's people down there who I admire and respect, and we've had some head-banging arguments a few times, and I think that that would be the first course of action would be to basically come together and become a functional city commission. And beyond that, just hit what's on the agenda and make things happen for the City of Adrian.
Okay, Angela, same question.
I would definitely begin the communication piece of my campaign of making sure that I'm communicating with City Hall, that I am listening to the city residents, and that we are starting to open those lines of communication. That is something that can be done immediately. A lot of the other issues that are out there are going to have to be addressed over time. It's not going to happen magically. What I do want to say, though, is that you have to remember that the mayor is one vote out of seven. Those commissioners also have, they have the six votes. There's only so much the mayor can do. please keep that in mind. And that is why your vote is so important going into voting in November 5th for these commissioners. It is just as important for the commission vote, if not more, because the mayor cannot even make a motion at a commission meeting. It has to be a commissioner. So their vote counts the exact same. The mayor does not have a veto vote, and you need to keep that in mind.
All right, we're going to go with closing comments right now. And then, Angela, we'll start with you with the closing comments.
First of all, I'd like to thank the NAACP and the Adrian Dominican Sisters for hosting this. I am born and raised in Adrian. I did move away after college to pursue some teaching jobs in various locations because at that time there was way too many teachers in the state of Michigan. I returned here with my five children to raise them here in the same hometown I grew up in because I believe in this city. I believe wholeheartedly in everything about Adrian. It does it have issues? Does every city have issues? Yes. Everywhere has issues. And everywhere has great things. Everywhere has problems. But I think we can work on some of these issues. I think there are great improvements that have already been made. Mayor Chuck Jacobson brought in the Human Relations Commission. I feel like they are doing some great things. There was Undoing Hatred last week that brought a lot of community members together discussing and looking at some of these problems. I was specifically in the social economic group, and a lot of what was brought out of that's where we really need to focus. We really need to focus on this Human Relations Commission, and really, I want to continue that. I just think that is making great strides, and I think that it's doing a lot of good, and there is a lot of good that we can do with that. Like I said already before, the blight issue, from talking to many citizens and residents, they are very concerned about that. The major complaint that I have had repeatedly over and over again is that they're saying, well, this is like their 12th building. Ever see them forcing them to make improvements? It's actually gone down since they've taken over. And they're very concerned about that, and they make improvements to their house, but yet they don't see the landlords being held to that same standard and that same accountability. So I really think that that needs to be enforced.
Okay, thank you. Closing comments from Shane.
Thank you. I also would like to thank the NAACP for moderating and promoting this event, and to thank the Dominican Sisters for hosting it and providing a safe space where the community can come together to discuss issues of concern. And also to WLEN for broadcasting, and to the people who attended here tonight, and to those listening at home. As I mentioned earlier, democracy is inherently a participatory form of government. Unfortunately, locally as well as nationally, few and few people are participating, so coming out tonight. I just want to give you a few takeaways I think is really important, that if you've listened to anything I've ever said, I wish you would listen to these. Number one, I'm going to take two statements by two commissioners. One is there's been $70 million of economic development. And I think pretty much all that's been on the west side or downtown. And another city commissioner said, but we might scrape together $75,000 for a splash pad, maybe, for the east side. And I think that really reflects the culture at City Hall, and I think it's sad. Number two, this comes from the City of Adrian's financial report. The per capita income in this city has been on a downward spiral for the last 10 years. We're now at $17,100. We're basically poverty level. Half the city lives in poverty, at least half the city, and no one wants to talk about it. We keep talking about fixing up buildings downtown, but if people can't afford to shop there, you know, that's the problem as well. Second statistic is that the population has been dwindling continually for the last 10 years. We're now at 1970 levels, population levels. And these are things that are not even discussed at City Hall. And whether you like it or not, I get it, it's an ugly reality, but these are huge, huge statistics. The people are leaving, the money's going. What are we gonna do about it? At least have that dialogue and come up with a plan, because this is not sustainable. And in 10 years, if this trend continues, what's gonna be left here is not gonna be pretty. So I would ask everyone to come out. Oh, the last point. East side of Adrian, if you're listening, participate in this process. You don't vote. People think you're politically irrelevant. Get to the polls and vote for Mackey for mayor November 5th.
All right, thank you very much. Those are our candidates for the city of Adrian for mayor, Angela Sword Heath and Shane Mackey. Before we wrap things up here this evening, I would like to invite up to the podium once again the president of the Lenawee County NAACP, Jeanette Hennigan.
On behalf of the Lenawee County NAACP, I'd like to thank you all for being here. First of all, thank the Adrian Dominican Sisters and the candidates who agreed to participate in this forum. It's very important that the city of Adrian is informed and that they go out to vote on November 5th. So tell somebody what you heard today and take five people with you to the polls. Thank you.
I would also like to thank the Lenawee NAACP for sponsoring this forum. We always look forward to having these forums. Also to the Adrian Dominican Sisters for providing the space. They've been wonderful in doing this and being a part of the community. We thank all the candidates who participated tonight. We also thank all the listeners, both on air and also online at WLAN.com. Thank you so much, and I echo what Jeanette said too. Be sure you go out and vote. Thanks again.